This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Today, over the line, we're speaking with Jack Jenkinson, who is the Director of Clinical Planning and Operational Readiness with a focus on mental health and substance use at Northern Health. We're speaking with him about the planned acute care tower at the UHMBC Hospital here in Prince George, Claybytonet. Jack, thanks so much for taking time with us this morning.
Pleasure.
There's been conversations about the acute care tower around the community. Some people don't know what it is. Some people want to know more. And it's a little bit confusing because there's two construction sites ongoing at the UHMBC Hospital. One of those sites is a parking garage. And that parking garage is completed. Is that correct?
It is indeed, yeah. So that was completed in November, and we created 471 parking spaces that is sort of additional to the existing UHMBC campus.
Gotcha. And municipal zoning has been approved for the acute care tower, but the ground has not been broken to begin that construction yet. Is that right?
That's correct.
And can you talk a little bit about what the implications of having the city of Prince George zoning approved is? How far along does that get us in the process?
Yeah, so there's quite a lot of different things that are occurring concurrently with this project. So I might roll back if that's okay. So one of the things which is a really big process that we're also working through is the transition from the Northern Health Unit, and that's transitioning down to the Bay location and the former China Cup location as well. So as we go through our processes, we are looking to demolish that building and then look to try and utilize that space for the next acute care tower. And so the zoning needs to occur once we've proposed exactly where the tower is going and the structure of what the tower is as well. So as we go through the process, we need to make sure that we know what's happening, and then the zoning comes from that larger sort of design components that we have.
Could you elaborate a little more on what is happening with the NIHU building or the Northern Interior Health Unit building that is being demolished so the new one can take place? What happens in the period of time when that is being demolished and the new tower is being constructed? Are there services in place that get people into various professional services and clinics when that building is no longer can provide service?
Yes. So maybe I'll give some context for that as well. So the current Northern Interior Health Unit provides outpatient services, so public health, speech-language pathology, and the interprofessional team. So those services are not connected to acute care. Those services will be provided in the new location at the Parkwood Mall in the Bay and China Cup locations. So there will be no delay or stopping of services when that building gets demolished. It's a continuation.
And there is a couple of residential units kind of behind or beside that building, yep, separate, and those would be untouched. Is that correct?
So the site that we're looking at the moment is the backside of 13th Avenue. So the houses that you're referencing are on 13th Avenue.
Yes.
And the spaces that we're looking at are from that alley through to 15th Avenue. That's where we're looking to try and work around and construct in that location.
Please remind us why this new acute care tower is being built. I get the impression that the community, the northern region, and politicians are generally all supportive of this project. Many people are concerned or aware that health regions, including our own Northern Health Region, are under strain, which affects services of all kinds. But what issues does this UHMBC addition aim to address?
So there are three main areas that this tower is supporting. And so those are cardiac care, surgical services, and mental health and substance use. So starting with cardiac care, it's a really exciting opportunity to bring cardiac care into the north. And so in the cardiac care unit, we're looking to expand the cardiac care services that we provide in Northern Health. And what this does is supports individuals to receive the care closer to home, as opposed to going down to Vancouver or Kelowna or other locations. So that's one of the first major pieces that we're looking to support. And then we're also looking to support surgical services with increased surgical inpatient spaces, modern operating rooms, and also looking to try and advance the care in those locations. And it's also a substantial increase in terms of the total number of spaces that we have for mental health and substance use as well. So that is something that, as we've seen with the toxic drug crisis and mental health issues throughout BC, that there is needing to be an investment. And what's really exciting is that we're able to support that in Northern Health. And so the goal of this is to expand the care that we provide and support the people in the north.
Detox centers and detox spaces, are will that increase at all as a result of this project?
Yeah. So would you like actually the bed count of like what we're actually putting in?
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Absolutely. So for cardiac care, there are 6 new cardiac care beds. There are 20 new cardiac step-down beds. There's a new cardiac clinic with diagnostic services that provide advanced care, including 2 cardiac catheterization labs and 1 hybrid operating room. Then for surgical services, there is 47 new surgical service patient beds. So we're increasing that to a total of 102. There are 5 new surgical operating rooms, so there'll be 12 in total. And for mental health and substance use, there's going to be 11 adolescent psychiatric inpatient beds. There's going to be 36 adult psychiatric inpatient beds. There's going to be 32 adult withdrawal management beds and 4 grief intervention unit psychiatric and addiction beds as well.
Okay. Thanks for the breakdown.
Yeah. So for mental health and substance use, it's approximately a 30% increase in terms of total increase for these services that we're providing.
Okay, great. There are plans for this new acute care tower to include a helicopter pad, correct?
So the helicopter pad is part of the overall UHMBC project plan. And so the work at the moment is currently underway to determine locations, design, and the delivery of the helipad as well. But that's part of the overarching UHMBC project, not the Alliance and Acute Care Tower project.
Okay, so there will be a helicopter pad somewhere, not necessarily on the new acute care tower.
Yeah, it's being looked at.
Okay. To my knowledge, the UHMBC East Tower, which is, you know, currently in existence, is technically the current acute care area of the hospital. Is that correct? Or where is acute care currently being done?
So there are 3 towers at UHMBC. So the way that it was originally created was there's a 1954 section, which is in the middle. And then on the side closest to Winnipeg Street or Edmonton Street, that is the 2003 side. And then on the far side is the 1970s building. And there are acute care patients in all of those locations. The most modern one off Edmonton Street has our intensive care unit, geriatric support services. There is also surgical and medicine in that location as well. So that has quite a lot of acute care patients, but all the different locations have acute care support as well.
Okay, so right now it's spread around a fair bit. This will concentrate it a little more. And what will that building be used for afterwards? Are there plans to expand long-term care units, beds or facilities in that building, like an alternate level of care or ALC patients? What's planned for it at this point? The space that will be opened up as a result of this new tower?
So the vacated space is still something that Northern Health is working through its processes, and it has an internal journey through that. And so there's lots of different options and thoughts, and they will be looking at those spaces as well. One thing I'd mentioned as well is that the new location up in College Heights is looking to support with long-term care, and there are other components for that as well.
Is that a Northern Health related construction over in College Heights?
It's connected. It's being built and run by Providence Living, which is a subsection of Providence Health.
And what is the predicted groundbreaking date or predicted completion date at this point? Do you have that?
We're working through that. So at the moment, we're looking to try and break ground in early 2027 and then looking to have patients in that location at the end of 2031.
Do we know at this point who has the construction contract? I believe that Dadoff had the contract to do the parking garage, right? PCL does a lot of construction in town. Do we know who it is?
We do. What's exciting for this project is we're working in an alliance model, which is a collaborative component where we're working with a design team, which is Dialogue, the construction team, which is Ellis Don, and then we have the mechanical team in PML, and we have the electrical team in Hull. And then we have the owners with Northern Health. So in this alliance process, we are working collaboratively to provide the entire project. And then from that, there will also be other subcontractors and work that will be coming from the community and from outside, depending on specialties.
Did that process differ from, I don't know, say a typical bidding process that Northern Health is used to doing? Were things changed up for that? Or is this kind of the typical run-of-the-mill way of sending the bids out?
No, this is actually a really exciting process because we go through other models for contracting, and this is the first time that Northern Health is going with an alliance model. The alliance model is what was used in Cowichan and also in Richmond and in Burnaby as well, and this will actually be the world's first time that the alliance model is incorporating the designers, the construction, mechanical and electrical, plus the owners.
Fascinating. I could be wrong, but it also sounds like a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Is there an overarching review board that looks at the plans and how it all gets laid out so that the end result is what patients and Northern Health needs? How do we assess this, I guess?
Yeah, there's lots of different assessment processes. And so we are working through with the Northern Health Executive Board, Ministry of Health. We have third-party estimators, and there's a large sort of wraparound connection and engagement with that as well.
This does sound like an interesting way of bringing in bids from local industry and also from afar where expertise is needed. Is that kind of the general goal of that?
Yeah, so it's about bringing in expertise that may not be available, but it's also trying to bring in world-class designers, construction, and really trying to push the envelope of how we can provide care to the North.
Jack, is there anything I haven't asked about this project that you wish I had asked or you really want people to know about?
I think the major thing for me is the advancement and the investment that is coming into the North. So this is the largest investment into the care for Northerners in the Northern Health region, basically, that has ever existed. So I'm really excited about how this can transform the care in the North, and I'm really excited about how we can provide a higher level of care than we currently are providing.
I feel as though the general consensus among the community is that Northern Health Services are very stressed, and it's showing in people's experiences of various pieces of healthcare. And I am going to guess that the construction of this tower is aimed at easing that stress that both healthcare providers and patients feel.
Maybe one thing that I'll add to this is that we have multiple aims with this project. And so often there are conversations around capacity and conversations around services, but if we can provide the right type of services in the right space at the right time, what that does is alleviates the need for acute care, and it supports the patients directly, supports the community, and it supports the people that are working in that location as well. So we're trying to think about this in an innovative way so that we can provide the best care possible.
On CIFA Radio 88.7 FM, we've been speaking to Jack Jenkinson, Director of Clinical Planning and Operational Readiness, with a focus on mental health and substance use at Northern Health, on the subject of the new acute care tower planned for construction at the University Hospital of Northern British Columbia, with groundbreaking set to commence in 2027. If listeners want to know more about the UHNBC Acute Care Tower project or alliance, Northern Health Communications and Community Engagement Lead Emily Presmo has a message for you.
Our website is called Let's Talk Northern Health, and then you can click through it and select UHNBC Acute Care Tower Project, and there will be just lots of updates every week. All the information is there if anyone's interested in learning more. Our project email is there as well if anyone has any questions and wants to reach out.
Thank you so much. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.